Okay, we are up to Shoftim, Perek Ches. This is the third Perek that we have relating to Gidon. He was one of the Shoftim that gets the most press here in Sefer Shoftim, his story. And we continue. Yesterday we learned the attack, how Gidon won with only 300 men after HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away many thousands, and they were victorious. And now the story continues, that the B'nai Ephraim complained to Gidon, "Why don't you call us? Why don't you tell us to come fight with you? You know, what do you think? We weren't worthy? We think we weren't able to help?" And Gidon diffuses the situation very quickly. He says, "What do you mean? You guys are great. You guys, as the Navi described the end of the last parak, they were the ones that killed the kings. They ran away. So you guys are amazing. No, there's no reason. You proved that you're amazing." End of Machlokas. All of a sudden, we'll have to talk about that. Gidon comes, and he continues chasing down the other leaders of Midian, and he crosses eastward. We've described the area where the battle took place was near the Yarden. They cross eastward to the Yarden, going over to Eber HaYarden, going into modern-day Jordan, and he stops by Sukkos and Peniel, two of the places where those were Jewish towns, and he says, "By the way, you guys have some water, have some food, we're starving, we're chasing this Midian, please help us." And they said, "How do we know you're going to win? We have no idea. Maybe the Midianites are going to win. Sorry, we can't help you." And Gidon says to them, "You're going to pay for this. You're going to pay for this when I get back." And as we keep reading the Navi, that's exactly what happened. Gidon catches the leaders, Zevach and Salmuna, and he brings them back. He eventually kills them. And on the way back, he stops by Sukkos and Penuel, and he destroys the cities because they were moreh. They rebelled against who he was. We'll have to talk more about why he was so vengeful on those people. Vayomer, and finally, Am Yisrael, after Gidon defeats Midian completely, they say, "Be our leader." They say, "Mishal banu gamata, be our leader. You, your children, your grandchildren, please be our leader." And Gidon responds with the amazing pasuk in Pasuk Chav Gimel, "You only have one leader, and that's God. I'm not your leader. Trust in him, and the only thing I ask of you is to give me a bunch of your spoils, a bunch of the gold." He collects the gold, and he makes a monument. Make not even a monument, an apron made out of gold in the shape of the ephod of the Kohen Gadol, and that was supposed to be a zecher for the nes that occurred, and this was a zecher to the nes until, as the Navi describes, until Gidon's death, when people started worshipping the ephod, and it became a problem for Am Yisrael. It also talks about the end of the parak, Yerubal, meaning Gidon, goes back to his nickname Yerubal that his father gave him, had 70 sons. That's already foreshadowing what's going to happen in the next parak. He has 70 sons from many, many wives. He even had a Pelegesh from whom he had Avimelech, who was going to play a major role in the coming prakim. And when he dies, the Navi again ends off as the cycle continues. After Gidon died, B'nai Yisrael take upon themselves Avodah Zarah again after 40 years. There were 40 years of quiet and following God, but there was such a taiva. Again, we can't fathom, understand it. We mentioned this before. We can't understand what the taiva is for Avodah Zarah because the Anshei Kedushas HaGadolah, you know, got rid of it. But this is what kept happening, and they didn't remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't remember Gidon and all the good that Hashem and Gidon had done for them. So that's the story, again, laying the groundwork for the coming up story and the continuation of the Gidon story. But really, Gidon here ends. Three prakim on Gidon. Again, the first parak is where he meets the Malach, if you remember. And the Malach says, "You're going to win," and he asks for the signs. Last parak, Parak Zion, is the actual war. And this is now the aftermath of the war. Finishing up loose strings, discussing and dealing with Jews who helped or who didn't help, and laying the groundwork for what happens after Gidon dies. Okay, here we go, Parakhes. Let's get into the details. Vayomer elav ish Ephraim. The B'nai Ephraim come to Gidon and say, "Ma'adavar hazeh asita lanu, levilti karos lanu, ki alachti lachem ebidyam. Why do you call us? We would have helped. It's not fair. Why do you call us? You get all the credit." Vayomer aleihem, and what's the godless of Gidon's reaction? Whenever somebody is angry at you, they're screaming at you, you scream back at them, it's going to get more and more and more argumentative. The way to diffuse an argument is soft. As it says in Mishle, right, manerach, as a soft mouth, a soft feel, and that will diffuse the situation. There won't be anything to talk about, right? The pitgam amami, that some of the Svarim quote, is shelamirivat zarech shnei tzadim sheyarivu. You have to have two people in a fight to fight. If only one person is ready to fight, then there's not going to be a fight. And that's exactly what Gidon teaches us. When B'nai Ephraim come and argue with him, they say, you guys are amazing. What's the problem? You guys did it. It's awesome. You guys are amazing. So Mishlei Perek Tesvav, Mane Rach Yashav Chema, a soft answer will diffuse anger. That's exactly what we learned from Gidon here in diffusing the anger. This again fits with the personality of Gidon that we know, his humility and his not wanting to go and be the leader until HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically tells him he has to go. And he stands up, and he even uses a lashon in Pasuk Beis. Tov, he was talking to Ephraim, and he was from Menashe. He says, "Tov ololos Ephraim mi betzir Aviezer." Right, greater are the ololos, the grapes of Ephraim mi betzir, the harvest of Aviezer. He's basically saying, "You guys are great grapes. We're like small grapes." But oh, why is Olos Ephraim an important lashon? Because that's the name of the Klei Yakar Sefer. The Olos Ephraim, his name was Ephraim Lenschitz, Shlomo Ephraim Lenschitz, that's what he names his Sefer, besides the Klei Yakar, which is his most famous work, but he also has a three-volume Hashkafa Sefer and Drusha Sefer named Olos Ephraim. This is the pasuk that he gets it from. And he says, Gidon says, V'yetchem nosan alokim, sorry Midyon, it's Ori v'Zeiv. You got rid of Ori v'Zeiv, you killed them. Mayacholdi asos kachem, what can I do for you? What can I do like you? You guys are great, thank you so much for helping me. Oh, I knew you were going to come up in the clutch. That's Gidon getting out of the machlokas. Good, and all of a sudden, what did the pasuk say? Rafsa rucha me'alav. Their spirit becomes soft. Meaning everything is diffused and all is good. Good, vayavo Gidon ha'yardenus. Now Gidon comes, he's going, traveling eastward. He comes to the Yarden, now he's going from Eretz Yisrael proper to Eber ha'yarden. He's chasing after, he and his 300 men, over Shlosh Mios Ishk, realize that not one person has died. 300 men in the battle against thousands, 100 plus thousands of soldiers, they're all still with him, but they are ayefim verodfim. Even though they didn't have a sword, as we pointed out, and they're fighting, but they were tired, and they were thirsty. So they say to the Anshei Sukkos, Rashi points out that these were Jews. Sukkos and Penuel are places there on the east side in Jordan. Tenula kikros lechem lama shebaraglai. Can we please have some bread? Ki ayefim, we're tired. Vanochi rodef achrei zevach v'tzalmuna. I'm going to try to get the other. There were four leaders. So they already killed Orev and Ze'ev, and now they're going to get Zevach and Salmuna. Could you please give me something to eat, something to drink? And the Sarei Sukkos and the heads of Sukkos say, what, did you already kill them? How do we know you're going to win? And they refuse to give them bread and water. The Malbim says here, we have to realize the depths of this lack of appreciation. Number one, a fellow Jew. Chesed. Basic chesed that they didn't do. Number one. Number two, Hakaras HaTov. Not just basic chesed to any fellow Jew, but look what Gidon has done. He's wiped out the whole army of Midian. Now he's going to kill the other two kings. But what about what he's done already? So two problems with their behavior. Hinei ha'yu mechuyavim la'aseis lahem lechem mitzad shnei inyanim, says the Malbim. Number one, mitzad mitzvahs tztaka. Amar achar shem ha'yefim v'ra'evim u'mitzvazum. Tell us al klal ha'am. And number two, mitzad achiyuv basher hayatzva melchama v'rotfim achar ha'oyev. And look, have hakaras ha'tov. So chesed and hakaras ha'tov, that is the problem. The Anshei Sukkos tell, well, we don't know if they're going to win. Maybe the people of Midian are going to come back to us. But don't worry about that. A fellow Jew is in need. That's what you have to do at this time. And that's what they were faulted with. If you think about it, it's the same kind of idea relating to what Chazal say about Ammon and Moab. Why are Ammon and Moab excluded, but not Ammonit and Moavit? Right? The women are not excluded, only the men. Right? That's why Rus HaMoaviyah, who is the ancestor of David, and Naamah HaAmonit, right, the mother of Rechavam, which is all of Malchei Yehuda. So why are they allowed in? If the Torah, you're not allowed to marry an Ammoni or a Moavi, the males, because the Torah says, because when we were traveling, they didn't come out and give us food and give us bread. And they're also basic chesed, but also Akaras HaTov. Our forefather, Avram Avinu, saved your forefather, Lot. And you should at least have basic Akaras HaTov, and because they didn't have that Midah, that's why the men are excluded. The women aren't the ones that usually come out to the battlefield. That's why the women are not Asuros. So that's what happens here. Anshei Sukkos refuse. Gidon then goes to the people, and he says to them, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to rake your flesh with thorns. You should just know that, guys. Vayal Misham Penuel. And then he goes to Penuel and says, could we please have some bread, some water? They're not asking for much. And the Anshei Penuel also refused, and he says, I'm going to take care of you also on the way back. Good, we continue the story now. Zevach and Salmuna are going down and they're traveling, and Gidon is running after them. He catches them. Vayanusu, vayirdof achareim. He catches them in pasuk yud beis. Vecholamachane hecharid, and everything is in awe of Gidon. Vayasha pasuk yud gimel. Gidon ben Yoash ben Amalchama. Gidon now returns back milamale hechares. What does that mean? So it's translated as milamale hacharis. If you look at the Mesudas Sion, whenever you want to know what a word means, it's always good to look there. Charis means shemesh. It means while the sun was still up. Where have we had this before? So if you remember, we had it earlier in Perek Beis, right? Two different wordings. Where was Yoshua ben Nun buried? So if you look at the end of Sefer Yoshua, he's buried in where? If you look at the end of Sefer Yoshua, the place is named Timnas Serach in the last Perek. But here, it's also called in Perek Beis Timnas Cheres. Why Cheres? So Rashi says, because at Yeshua's Kever, they made a statue of the sun to remember that Yeshua stopped the sun and the moon. And that's why it's called, even though the real place was Timnas Serach, but it's called Timnas Cheres. Cheres is an earthenware structure of the sun to remember what Yeshua did. That's the same word here. Milamala HaCheres, the sun is called the Cheres, because that was the shape that they made for Yoshua ben Nun. And what happens? They take the king, Zevach and Salmuna, and Gidon's walking back. Vayoko Namiachi Sukkos. He finds a child from Sukkos and says, "Child, can I ask you something? Sure. Could you tell me the elders of your city?" The child did not know what he was doing, but he just gave them all a death sentence. Vayichtov Elav, and he wrote, the 77 elders of Sukkos, gives them to Gidon, and he goes, and Gidon takes care of them. Takes care of them. Vayikach Hazikni Ha'ir, Veskotzi Amidbar, takes care of them. And the Be'er Moshe discusses that this is, the Be'er Moshe, this is Rav Moshe Yechiel Epstein, the Azarov. He writes, it is safe for a Navi, that this is Mida Keneged Mida. I mean, they were starving, they were fighting, they were putting their lives in danger, and you didn't come to act. So they were going to die. So this is Mida Keneged Mida. Basically, you were leaving us out to die. Kasher Zamam, Lasos La'achiv, similar idea. And therefore, this is something that you have to realize that this is your punishment. If you look in the Abarbanel, we discuss this Abarbanel in the introduction to Shoftim. If you remember, the Abarbanel spoke about five parallels and similar halachos between a king and a shofet, and five differences between a king and a shofet. One of the similarities between a melech and a shofet was the shituf hashlishi. The third idea that the Abarbanel says was that kings and judges, melachim and shoftim, I don't like to translate a shofet as a judge, because as we've said, it's not just a regular dayon, right? However you translate shofet, a certain type of Jewish leader. So there's a parallel between a melech and a shofet. Kulam makim va'onshim pa'amim shalom and adin. They are allowed to judge and punish based on what they see fit in Am Yisrael. Right? They don't have to go to Beis Din. They don't have to have witnesses. If a king thinks somebody was morid b'malchus, so then they do that. Shalom min adin, shalom min atorah, kvi tzorech hasho, whatever is needed. Umipnei zeh, hayu shoftei Yisrael, osim dvarim shalom kemishparuk alacha, li osam karasha. That's why they did it. They did it. Where's the examples? Where do you see in Shoftim? The Marbanel says that they acted because the door needed it. Halo tiresha Gidon. This is the example. Gidon slaughtered the people of Sukkos, the people of Penuel. What'd they do wrong? They didn't do chesed. They didn't do akar satov. But Gidon says, Am Yisrael can't have these types of people. You saw Jews in need, that they were ready to die for you. And you didn't give them bread. You didn't give them water. Says that it's not a Jewish midah. Dosh is psaranchi sukos v'kotzim v'haragatanchi penuel. We don't find in Chazal that this was a negative. We don't find in Chazal that he did anything wrong. V'ein zal pi haTorah. Right, that's not. And Yiftach, we'll have to get to when we get to him. He quotes other examples. But this is what was needed, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Based on what the generation needs. And that's what Gidon felt, what was needed. Again, even though Gidon was a very humble person, as we've seen a number of times already. And as we see it at the end of the parak, where he says, no, I don't want to be your king. But still, he felt that this was needed, and he did it with Tzarech Klal Yisrael. So he does it to the city of Sukkos, and then he does it to the city of Penuel, and then, at the end, there's nothing left, and he totally wipes out Midyan. Pasuk Chavbeis, Vayomer Ish Yisrael El Gidon. So now, Am Yisrael turn to Gidon and then say, Mishol Banu Gamata, be our leader, Gam Bincha, Gam Ben Bincha. So the Mefarshim point out, this is an amazing declaration that the Am Yisrael says to Gidon. There is not one other shofet that has this declaration. What declaration? Back to the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says one of the differences between a melech and a shofet is whether it is given over to a, it's passed down. If it's hereditary, meaning a king, as we know, passes down to son, father to son, father to son, father to son. You gotta be in the family. If you're in the family, you can be the king. If not, not. So shofet doesn't have that. There's not one shofet, really, that Yarshin did to his kids. Not one. Here, Am Yisrael, we're making a deal with Gideon. Please, be our leader, and your son can be the leader, and your grandson can be the leader. Please. And he says no. A great pasuk in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. I will not be your leader. And my son won't be your leader. Why? Hashem Yimshal Bachem. Right? Hashem will be your leader. This sounds very similar to what Shmuel Hanavi answers as well. If you remember, hopefully we'll get to that in the future at some point, in Shmuel Aleph, when Am Yisrael asks for a king, inappropriately, Shmuel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu get very angry at Am Yisrael. And there, the Mepharshim talk about what's so bad, right? It's a mitzvah to have a king. It's in Parsha Shoftim. So why are they so angry? But there, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, Shmuel says, you don't need me to be your king. Ki melech yimloch aleinu, v'Hashem alokechem malkechem. Hashem's your king. So same exact reaction that Shmuel has, and that Gidon has. Hashem is your king. You don't need me to be your king. By the way, we didn't mention that when Gidon got back in the previous psukim and he was going to kill Zevach and Salmuna, he wants to enable his son and teach his son and try to educate his son to be a leader. So he says, okay, kill them. They're going to kill you if you don't kill them. So it's self-defense. And the son was too scared. The son named Yeser says to him, kill them. He doesn't kill him, so Gidon kills them himself. So a number of the Sfarim point out that Yeser, this was somehow connected, whether it's a Gilgal, whether it's connected to Yisro from Midian. And now he's saying, take revenge from Midian of everything that they've done to you, where they used to make fun of him when he was the Kohen in Midian, and now this was the revenge that he was taking. Either way, so Gidon refuses to be the leader, and they say to Gidon says, I'll ask you one thing. Give me your gold. But the fascinating pasuk here, he says, "Tenu liish nezem shlalo pasuk chavdalid ki nizbei zavlem." They gathered a lot of gold from the spoils. Ki yishmeelim heim, because they were yishmeelim. Asks Rashi. Ask the Radak. Radak, not Rashi. They weren't yishmeelim. Who are they fighting here? The Midianim, not the yishmeelim. What does the pasuk say? Ki yishmeelim heim. Says the Radak. Sometimes those words are used interchangeably. Yishmeelim and Midianim, like by Mechiras Yosef, right? One of the big problems by Mechiras Yosef. What does the pasuk say there? That the brothers sold Yosef to the Yishmeelim, and the next pasuk says Vahamidanim Machros El Mitzrayim. So who had him? The Yishmeelim, the Midianim. So Rashi quotes there in Parshas Vayeshev. Well, he was sold a bunch of times. The Yishmeelim, the Midianim, the Socharim, right? There are all different times he was sold. But according to this pasuk. And that's what the Eben Ezra says in Parshas Vayeshev. No, you look in this pasuk. Yishmeelim and Midyanim, they're called. Sometimes that name is used interchangeably. Remember, the Rashbam, based on this pasuk, develops a whole idea, Pshuto Shel Mikra, that the brothers never really sold Yosef. The brothers said, let's sell him to the Yishmeelim. Then they went to sit down, far away from the pit, and it must be that another caravan came by, they saw Yosef in the pit, they picked him up, and they took him. And that's why when they went back to the pit, nobody knew where he was. So the Rashbam develops a whole idea based on that change of nation. But the pasuk here says, the Midyanim are sometimes called Yishmaelim, and that's exactly what the Eben Ezra says there in Vayeshev. So he says, give me all of your gold. So he takes all of the gold from them and the gold that he took from the kings. And what does he do? Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayas, Oso Gidon Le'ephod. He makes it into an ephod, a golden apron. Why does he do this? Rashi quotes, Zecher L'Nes. He wants to do something as a remembrance to the miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, 300 men. He doesn't make a holiday, like the Hanukkah, but at least he makes something. He makes this golden apron, and he hung it in the city of Afra. He did that as a zecher to the Nes. Why Dafkin Ephod? Why did Dafka to pick an Ephod? So beautiful, says the Al-Shech HaKadosh. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim, the end of the ninth parak, the Gemara says in Svachim that each one of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, each one of the eight was machaper for a different avera. Each one of them, he says, mechnasayim, the boxers, so to speak, mechaperes al gili arayas, right? That fits. Mitznefes, the hat, mechaperes al gasei ruach, haughtiness, because the hat is above the head. Each one goes through. And choshen mechaper al adinim. Ephod, mechaper al avodah zarah. The Eifod is Bechapra and Avodah Zara. That's the one, says the Asher HaKadosh, that Gidon picks, because the problem with this generation was Avodah Zara. See, Dafka makes the golden shape of an Eifod to say Hashem saved us because you guys were doing Avodah Zara. But remember the Neis HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to save us from the Midyanim, and please keep following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one problem was, though, if you have a Zecher like this, where should he have put this Zecher? He should have gone to Shiloh and put it in the Mishkan. Right, that's the center of Am Yisrael's existence. Should have put it in the Mishkan. Just like we know, there are other items that were placed in the Mishkan after a certain victory took place. We know obviously the Klei Azov that we're going to learn about in Sefer Shmuel were put in that came back from the Plishtim, were put next to the Aron. The Sword of Goliath, which we'll have to get to, was placed by the Mishkan, so was placed next to the Aron. So here too. So that's the emphasis here. He says he made the Eifo, that was fine. Vayatze goso bi'iro ba'afra. But he put it in Afra, his own city. The Ralbag says that was the problem. He should have put it by the Mishkan in Shiloh. Vayizno kol Yisrael acharav sham, and eventually all of Am Yisrael didn't remember it as a remembrance of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, but they started worshipping it itself, just like all other statues they started to worship. They started to worship it, just like the Rambam describes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the moon and the stars to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to help us serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what happened over time, instead of realizing that they were Hashem's servants, we just started worshipping them. That's exactly what happens here with the golden ephod that Gidon made. It eventually led Am Yisrael to sin. But the parak ends off, Aikana Midyan lefnei b'nei Yisrael, and Midyan did not rear its head for 40 years. Vayelech, and then what happens as the parak ends? Yerubaal, meaning Gidon, goes, and he has 70 kids, and he even has a pilegesh. That is a halachic problem also. The Rambam holds a pilegesh, a concubine. Machlokes Rishonim, what is a concubine? What is the difference between a concubine and a wife? Is it that there's no suba? Is it that there's no kiddushin? What exactly is the difference between a pilegesh and a isha and a wife? That's a big question. But the Rambam says clearly that a pilegesh is only allowed for a king. The average Jew is not allowed to have a pilegesh. Only a king. And that's a shiloh that's asked why, how it is, the Kesef Mishnah asked on the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, how it is that the Gidon and other examples throughout Tanakh, they were pilakshim if it was only mutter for a king. Okay, but either way, he has a pilegesh and he has a son named Avimelech. So he has 70 sons plus one from a concubine named Avimelech. We'll have to see. Avimelech is going to play a major role. And Gidon then dies, b'seva tova, and he's buried in Afra, which is not the modern day Afra. But he kasher meis Gidon when he dies. The Navi ends off again that they started to go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's a very crucial line where it says, "Velo zakru b'nei Yisrael as Hashem Elokeihem." The Jews forgot Hashem, and then "Velo asu chesed b'nei Yerubal Gidon," and they forgot Gidon and Gidon's family. So the Mefarshim explain that it was a step by step because they didn't have a karas hatov for Gidon that led them not to have a karas hatov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because being a hakaras hatov person for a fellow man will lead to a karas hatov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what the Sefer Chinuch says on the mitzvah of kibud av ha'eim. Kibud av ha'eim will lead to kibud Hashem. If one doesn't recognize what they have to feel for their parents, then they're never going to come to recognize what they have to have for the other three partners that create a person, the father, the mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's exactly how we have to read the Pesukim. They didn't recognize Hashem, they forgot Hashem, because they forgot Yerubal, they forgot Gidon. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Next time we'll pick up with the continuation of the Gidon story, which are what happens, the tragic story that happens to all of his sons, and to Avimelech, and to Yotam. We'll have to see all of those in the coming parak.